So we are back for part two. Welcome back. We want to run down the Charlotte metagame really quick. It was interesting. A lot of big boys on the field. First place.
A lot of primeval titans, if you will.
A lot of primeval titans. Yes, titans of a primeval bent. So there were three primeval titan decks in the top four. It was Will Pulliam, Amulet Titan, in first. Austin Robbins, Amulet Titan, in second. Becky Edelman, Titan Shift, in third. And Philip Lauren, Blue White Control, in fourth. And then the rest of the top eight was Storm, Caleb Shear, Jund, Jadeen, Bant Spirits, Charles Sedberry, who I don't know, and Jordan Reith. Is it Wizards? A Delver of Secrets jam. I am in.
Playing Adelise the Cinderwind. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we'll dig into that in a minute. And then the rest of the top 16, humans, burn, Bant Spirits, humans, infect, burn, Tron, Dredge. Another.
There you go. The first Dredge chilling there in 16th place.
Yes. Played by Ross Merriam, no less. So.
Which really, that really is like the story of the event though, is Dredge, right?
Yes. It was like, almost completely hated out of the metagame in a single week.
Well, so it is and it's not, right? Because like 2 weeks ago, or whatever, maybe 3 weeks ago at this point, we saw Dredge absolutely dominate when people realize Creeping Chill in the deck is pretty dumb.
Mm.
And it's just very powerful. And so going into this event, everyone was kind of ready for it, right? But it's like, you can't just like rebuild your entire deck to just beat Dredge. That's just not how it works in Modern. Like, you can't just like, you know, start from scratch. Okay, I'm just going to make this deck beat Dredge. Like, if you want to beat Dredge, what you need to do is just play a deck that already has a good Dredge matchup. And just as it happens in Modern, the big mana decks all tend to play Graveyard Hate. Like, Tron just has Relic of Regenesis a lot of the time. And, like, Amulet Titan just plays Bajuka Bog main deck, and they can tutor it up. And Scapeshift often plays Anger of the Gods in their sideboard, or even main deck sometimes. Like,
yep.
And they just, like, have ways to win quick. Like, you know, Scapeshift can just kill Dredge, you know, whatever. So, there's a number of reasons why these big mana decks dominated, and mostly it's Dredge. It's like Dredge just kind of beat everything, and then the big mana decks beat Dredge. And that is just the story of this event. Like, other decks did things, and they showed up well, but it was a good weekend to be playing big mana, and big mana triumphed.
Yep. There were, hoi, yoi, yoi. Oh, we'll get to that. Yikes. So let's see what else. Another Amulet Titan, humans, Counters Company. I don't know if this is elves. Oh, this is like Counters Company. Ponza, yikes. Mono Green Tron, Grixis Whirr. This is like the new worst lantern. Because it actually, its only main deck win condition is Looping Pirate Spellbomb with Academy Ruins. Don't play this deck, please.
No, play it. It's awesome. Get in there.
Sure. Runaway Red. So there was two Arclight Phoenix decks that made top 32. There was this version, Rudy Brixa. Four Arclight Phoenix, four Bedlam Reveler, two Swift Spear, four Runaway Steamkin, 18 lands, and then Desperate Ritual, Metamorphose, Risk Factor, Tormenting Voice, Faithless Looting, and then Burn. Four Fiery Tempers, four Lightning Bolts, two Burst Lightning. Burst Lightning is a bad spell. Please stop playing it. God.
Yeah, I was about to suggest that they play a deck with Burst Lightning in it.
Ugh. I feel like we've covered extensively why my disdain for Burst Lightning.
Burst Lightning is great. I am a huge Burst Lightning fan.
Ugh. ugh. Yeah. All right. Anyways, but you know, Tormod's Crypt, Blood Moon, Anger of the Gods, like all good cards available for that. And then the other Arclight Phoenix deck was structured similarly, but it was 4 Phoenix, 4 Reveler, 4 Swift Spear, 4 Needle Drop.
That's what's up.
This is absolutely not a playable card. This is Pauper Burn.
Yeah, it's a Pauper staple, dude.
Yes, it's a Pauper staple.
You know what else is a Pauper staple? Brainstorm. Okay, Brainstorm's not, but Daze kind of is.
So, Fiery Temper, Bolt, Metamorphose, Looting, like Lava Spike, I could probably be something else. Rift Bolt, I'm not in love with. Tormenting Voice, Needle Drop, like, this needs to go. Like, I get it draws you a card, but there's other red, like, cantrips that are not Needle Drop.
There's really not. There's not that many red cantrips. There are, but there's not.
I'll work on it. I will find... that card exists. I will find it. Who knows? Maybe it's Spark of Creativity.
Definitely not that one.
Hey, Spark of Creativity is great.
No, it's not. That is way worse than Needle Drop.
Strong disagree.
I am a Needle Drop fan. But I mean, the fan club of the Needle Drop.
Yikes.
I have suggested to people that they play one Needle Drop in their burn deck before.
Yes.
It's never happened, but if you wanted to do that, you could do that. You could play one Needle Drop.
There's no way that the first Needle Drop is better than, like, the fourth, literally any other playable burn card.
Well, there is a way, and that is if that card is Shard Volley, and you wanted 4 Shard Volley, you should play 3 Shard Volley and 1 Needle Drop.
No, you would play Devastating Summons.
Okay, well, Shard Volley also better than the 4th Devastating Summons. Or Needle Drop better than 4th Devastating Summons. Whatever.
I thought you wanted this to be a short episode, and you're just like... You're on the Needle Drop train.
It draws a card. It's like Electrolyze. It's so good.
Oh my god. All right, so four Tormod's Crypt, 3 Shrine of Burning Rage, which is on a comeback tour of Modern. A Risk Factor, Anger of the Gods, right? So like all stuff that's good against Dredge. And then there was another dredge, a couple more dredges that scraped their way into the top 32.
All right, so big picture here, what are we seeing in Modern? Well, we're still seeing that Dredge is just running away as the best deck, right? Where it's not doing it in the way that Humans was, where Humans was the best deck and it was hard to hate out effectively. It's more like it's the best deck in the sense that, like, when Affinity was the best deck, it, like, wasn't the best deck every week. Which is actually healthy in Modern, even if this Dredge deck doesn't feel super healthy when you play against it.
Sure.
But, yeah, Dredge is really good, and that means you should play Graveyard Hate. And if that's the case, and we saw what happens when Dredge is just the front runner, the decks that can naturally do what they're doing but also play Graveyard Hate, you know, win in the format, which in this scenario was big mana decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, and this is what we kind of wanted to get at here with the whole Modern meta situation, is that Modern is kind of in this rotating pattern that you get when your best deck is exploitable. And what that means is, like, it's pretty easy to predict what type of decks you should play, you know, for the next week. Based on their matchup versus, like, what last week's, like, frontrunner was. It's just kind of going to rotate for a little while, in my opinion, until there's, like, more cards added to the card pool. And so I think what we're going to see is whatever decks can beat Dredge and also have a good matchup against big mana are going to do well next weekend.
So, I'm trying to think. Burn. Infect.
Burn has a good matchup against big mana. I think Burn's Dredge matchup is bad.
Okay.
It can beat Dredge. Like, you can be like a 4 rest in peace deck, but I would say the game one just feels really tough when they're just
Oh, sure.
Every other turn is
yeah. Mana. No. I mean, it's certainly, it's not like it used to be. Like, it used to be very good.
It did used to be good. It's just no longer the case.
Yeah, I mean, but you can play Rest in Peace. I mean, hell, you can play four Tormod's Crypt. Like, that is a real thing. And that has an appreciable impact.
It does, but, like, Burn isn't the deck that gets that much better when it's doing it. Like, it does get better. Like, it helps in the matchup to have these things, but it's like, you also are diluting your game plan, and Burn's very susceptible to having his game plan diluted. Where it's like, you know, you drew your Rest in Peace, which is good, but now you also need to draw another Bolt, because you're going to be 3 damage short.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Burn does have a hard time in that aspect. It's not, like, a great Rest in Peace deck. It's like a deck that can play Rest in Peace.
Yep. So, I could see Infect doing well.
I like Infect. I think Infect is a very good call.
And I'm trying to think. I mean, a fast combo that's not Ad Nauseam. Like, Ad Nauseam is...
I actually think Ad Nauseam is well positioned.
I feel like it's... Maybe this is just my most recent experience playing against it, is that, like, it always felt a turn or two, like, a turn and a half slow. Like, the setup is now too vulnerable to commonly played cards. I mean, Dredge is playing Assassin's Trophy. So, like, you can very easily just be like, all right, here's my Phyrexian Unlife. And then they just go, oh, Assassin's Trophy, kill you.
I mean, certainly Dredge can do that. But I think overall, Ad Nauseam is well positioned. I think that it is a good deck. If you're trying to exploit Dredge and big mana, Ad Nauseam has a good match against both of those type of decks. And I also think it's the best Ad Nauseam has been positioned in a long time, considering it is horrible against humans.
Yes.
And humans is finally on a downswing. It's been a long time since we saw humans go on a downswing. Which is good. I mean, this is actually healthy. Like, I am happy that humans is finally not number one.
Sure. Yeah, I guess just... I would be looking at aggressive decks that don't fold to graveyard hate.
I was gonna say, can I give you another class of decks I think is really well positioned right now?
Is it blue red wizards? Because if it's not, then that's what we're talking about.
Well,
okay. I'm sorry.
I guess it could be blue red wizards. Okay. I don't think this is specifically blue red wizards. I could imagine blue red wizards fits in this classification. But I am thinking of Team or Battle Rage decks. I think Team or Battle Rage decks are very well positioned.
Okay.
Now, whether that be, like, you know, the Holy Diva blue special. I don't know what her deck is called.
It's just Sneaky. Blue. Just blue.
Just blue? Just blue? Okay.
Yeah, like the Holy Kiln Fiend deck.
The Kiln Fiend deck, yeah.
Yep.
I think that deck is well positioned. I think any Death Shadow deck playing Battle Rage, well positioned. So those are good. And then... I also have a control deck that I think is awesome right now that people just aren't ready for. We'll touch on that in a second.
Okay. I do want to talk about this Blue Red Wizards deck, though.
Sure.
Delver, Grim Lobmancer, Nemble Obstructionists, 4 Snapcaster Mages. You should already love this deck.
I mean, it plays 4 Snapcaster Mages. I'll play it.
Right. Adeliza Cinderwind, which you might remember from Dominaria Draft.
When Adelise was a bomb in Dominaria Draft. That card was awesome.
Yeah. One blue red, flying haste, 2/2 legendary human wizard. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, wizards you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. So she gets
all... She anthems the whole team.
Yes, with prowess. And then, you know, just good spells. 8 lightning bolts, 2 spell snares, 4 mana leaks, a roast, an Is It Charm. I go back and forth on Is It Charm. And Opt, bunch of lands, Staticaster, Alpine Moon, Surgical, Spell Pierce, Relics. I honestly think this is probably one of those decks where, like, if you are curving out and Dredge is curving out, your Relic is not going to matter because they're already going to be dead.
What, against Dredge?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I agree. I think Dredge is a lot faster than this deck.
Like, Blind Flip, Delver on 1.
I mean, like, right there, like, that's just, like, that's pretty lucky. Like, you have to have a Delver, and then you have to blind flip it. Like, you only have 22 spells. It's not that likely. You're only, like, a third, like, you're, like, 33% to flip it at most.
I don't know. I think this deck has the potential to race.
I think you have game against Dredge. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's, like, a great matchup against Dredge. I do think that the deck is sweet, though, and I have a huge issue that there's not two Adelies now I'm looking at this.
Okay.
We need another Adelies.
Okay. I think the main deck of Braids is actually probably the thing that gives you an edge against Dredge in a weird way, is because Shriekhorn is a surprisingly important part of their game plan right now. Because it allows them to keep hands that don't have, you know, some other way to, like, get the engine started. So if they get one activation off their Shriekhorn instead of three, because you abrade it after the first one, like, that has the potential to cut them off of 6 cards, 8 cards, 10 cards. I mean, that's a lot. So I'm in on abrade. I'm ready.
Look, I like abrade. I just have a better version of this deck.
All right, lay it on me. I'm ready.
Well, let's talk about what we would play in GP Atlanta this weekend.
Okay. What would you play?
So the deck, God, I was
the notes killing me. All right, go ahead. No, go.
The deck I would play this weekend is Blue Moon. Okay. Now, hold on for just a second. I know what you're saying, Zach. Dirtily blue cryptic command deck. I get it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Except, we're looking for a deck that's good against Dredge, which Blue Moon actually is good against Dredge, surprisingly. And we're looking for a deck that is good against big mana. Well, you're a Blood Moon deck. You're pretty good against big mana. I know there's this, like, thought that Blue Moon is not good against big mana, like, Tron specifically, because, like, they just cast their card into your Blood Moon, but we're talking about a Thing in the Ice Blood Moon deck. So it's like, no, you're actually good against Tron. Like, you get your Blood Moon down, and then you flip your Thing in the Ice, like, 2 turns later, and then they just take so much damage and die. Like, that's just how the deck works. And you tend to be pretty favored against Tron. I mean, you can lose, it's not, like, 100%, but you are good against big mana decks, and against Dredge, flipping Thing in the Ice is great. Like, you just bounce all their garbage, like, creatures they brought back from the graveyard back to their hand. Now they got a bunch of cards in hand. You remand all of their conflagrates, so you can counter, like, you can counter their best spell without being down a card. And Thing of the Ice and Cryptic Command just work well enough to just deal huge chunks of damage to them. And then on top of that, you get to play cards like Main Deck Anger the Gods, and you get to have, like, a bunch of relics in your sideboard to, you know, kind of do some good work for you there. I think that it's very well positioned against Dredge, and I think it's good against big mana. And then on top of that, Blue Moon's just weakness, the way this deck is built forever, has been how bad you are against big creatures. Like, you don't ever want to play against Shadow. You don't ever want to play against Eldrazi. Those are the nightmare matchups. Because you just don't have spells that kill them, and you can't get under them enough to not make their big creatures matter. And it just never had tools before to deal with those creatures. There wasn't, like, the best thing you could play was Harvest Pyre, and that was, like, at best, like, a one-time answer to these things.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, you were going pretty deep, and it was not good. But now you actually get a card called Beacon Bolt, which is from the new set from Guilds of Ravnica. And it is 1 blue-red, deal damage to target creature equal to the number of instants and sorceries in your graveyard and in exile. So it counts exile, which is interesting because you already kind of wanted to play Relic of Progenitus, so, like, it still works with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has jumpstarts. So it's like 2 big kill spells in 1 card, which is awesome when you're looking for specifically a big kill spell. Like, it's awesome that you can get 2 of them in 1 card to put in your sideboard. Like, it saves the sideboard slot, essentially, right?
Okay.
And it's just good with Thing of the Ice, so you can cast it twice to, like, you know, get 2 counters off of it. So that's sweet. And then it also got Rael Zarek, which is something Blue-Red loves. Because post-board, like, you play against these grindy decks like Jundin stuff, where you want to be killing big creatures, which Rael Zarek can. He has the minuses, literally just Beacon Bolt's text. But he also is just a card advantage engine. And, he, you know, can win the game with his ultimate. And the deck was kind of using Jace through that before, and Jace did win, but, he was a little slow and not, he just didn't have enough loyalty for Modern, I guess. But this new Rael has a ton of loyalty. He's very hard to deal with. He kind of feels like Teferi, in my opinion. So I think as like a sideboard threat, Rael is exactly what this deck was looking for. It's just a way to answer big creatures. It's a way to outgrind decks like Jund and, you know, keep up with the card advantage of blue-white control. It's just kind of everything the deck wanted in just like one nice sideboard package. So, like, you got some cards to fill some of the classic holes of the archetype. It is naturally well-positioned against the current frontrunners in the format. It also has a very good humans matchup and spirits matchup, believe it or not. So I think it's very well-positioned. You know, I'm probably going to play it at the Invitational. You know, we'll see how that goes. But
to the surprise of no one.
The metagame might change, but it's my frontrunner right now.
Okay.
And, you know, I think it's a good call. I think it's a good place to be.
Okay. So the Rael, just because I looked up the wrong one originally, the Rael that you're talking about is the new one from Guilds, Rael, is it Viceroy?
Yep.
Three blue black, five loyalty, plus one.
Blue red,
I'm sorry. Plus one, look at the top two cards of your library, put one in your hand and the other into your graveyard. So plus one draw card, basically.
Well, but it's better than that. It's like draw a good card.
Okay, sure. draw the better of two cards.
I mean, like, people play Sleight of Hand, right?
No, I get it. Like I said, yes, people do play Sleight of Hand. And then his minus three, like you said, is the Beacon Bolt text. And then minus eight, you get an emblem with whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this emblem deals four damage to any target and you draw two cards.
The emblem is very game winning.
I mean, it's, is he better than Chandra though? Like
the four mana Chandra?
Four mana Chandra, like she does many similar things a turn sooner.
You know what four mana Chandra does not do? Kill Reality Smasher, which is a nightmare for this deck. I have played this deck in SCGs before, and I was just like winning all of my rounds, and then I'd play against the person who was like Cavern of Souls, Name Eldrazi, cast Reality Smasher, and I would just be like, you know what, sir? You have defeated me.
Yes. Good games. I'm going to
go home and hang my head in shame.
Right.
Just eat very a
sad
very depressed.
Convention center hot dog.
Yes.
The hot dogs were actually reasonably priced. I will say, for the concession stand, like, two hot dogs, fries was, like, $9, which I thought was very reasonable, considering.
Look, all I'm saying, Aaron, is that I own Foil Rael, is it Viceroy's, for a reason.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, you have a reason.
I know you have a reason. I understand that. You have a reason in your head.
Oh, they're great. I have played one league with them, and I am convinced that it is the new best Planeswalker in Modern.
Whoa. Okay. Fair enough.
It's not that good, but it is. It's exactly what this deck was looking for. I can say that for sure.
Okay. So I would probably play. I would play either some sort of. Like Arclight Phoenix deck.
Yes. Yes, please.
And so I would probably play like Mardu Phoenix. Like it felt very good when I started. That was the first deck that I put it in. Right before you were like, there's no way it goes in here, and then Jerry did a stream and he was playing it, and I was like, yeah, what's up? Remember those gloats? Got to get that gloat equity.
That's fair.
I like the style of the Mardu shell, right? Like I enjoy playing mid range decks. I think white sideboard cards are especially good against a lot of the sort of bad, like big bad decks. Like Alpine Moon, I think is a very serviceable thing. You know, you can play Blood Moon if you want, that's fine too. But just like having a lot of unconditional removal is something that I'm pretty interested in right now, and Dreadbore is a very good spell, I think, like at this second. I'm not playing like a million of them, but I played one main deck and I would absolutely do it again. So, you know, having Fatal Push and Path and, you know, Terminate and all that stuff, right? It's like, nice Worm Coil engine, path. You know, nice Primeval Titan, path, Terminate, whatever. And it also gives you life gain, like sort of pointed life gain and the potential for incidental life gain. So I like that quite a bit. I think you can kind of almost turn it into like Ancestral Recall tribal between Bedlam Rebeller and Risk Factor. So that's pretty good. Like I think it covers a lot of the bases. The other thing that I would consider playing is just black white planeswalkers, you know, black white mid range.
Call it by its real name.
Yes, it is the Gabe Nassif black white sewer.
Yes. Yes.
I don't remember if his version plays smallpox, but mine probably would. Just because I really like smallpox. And I will say also, like, Dredge plays a very low land count. So if you can, like, they will keep like one land Shriekhorn. And if you just like smallpox, like, you've got potentially like 3 to 4 turns before they ever draw another land. And, you know, with a good enough clock, which would probably be, I would probably play, I did a version of like black white mid range smallpox that had, the creatures were 4 blood guests and 4 kitchen finks. And in with them and Sorin Solemn Visitor, it closes games very quickly. Okay. So like, you know, they're hard to kill, all that good stuff. The only problem is there's probably going to be more Anger of the Gods. So I would probably look at something different, but so something in that realm. And
I do think you're right about Anger of the Gods. I think Anger of the Gods is absurdly well positioned right now.
Yeah. And I just, man, can we talk? So I don't know if I'm going to play Titan Shift per se, but I am working on a number of Scapeshift piles right now. And so I was looking at Becky's list from the open. And so it's right. Like it's all the stuff you would expect, right? Primeval Titan, Secure Tribe Elder. She placed 3 Colony Heart Expedition, and a Prismatic Omen in addition to like all the other stuff. And she also plays Explore, 3 Explore, 1 Farseek instead of like older lists used to play 4 Farseek. All of which I like. She's only on 2 Summoner's Pact, which I also think is good. 4 Summoner's Pact, I think, is just too much. But the sideboard. Oh, the sideboard. 3 Damping Sphere. Great. 2 Grafdigger's Cage. Also great. 1 Carnage Tyrant.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. that would be the 6 mana, 7/6 Trample Hexproof that can't be countered.
I have a lot of problems with that card.
Seems
that
good.
Card
yeah,
is
yeah, because you have real no dumb. Ability, you have no ability to kill it.
I'm gonna bounce it back to your hand. So I'm gonna do.
Yeah. 2 Obstinate Baleoth, also good. Rexage, Tireless Tracker, Braid, Ancient Grudge. We already sort of talked about why those are good. Beast Within.
Oh, you know what 7/6s are bad against?
7/8s.
That's it. 7/8s. You got it.
So Beast Within, the catch all, Anger of the Gods. This is the one that made me unbelievably happy. Hour of Devastation.
That's because Becky is smart and she plays awesome cards.
This is so dope. Like, so Hour of Devastation, ostensibly,
it kills Teferi. It's great.
Yes. So like, whereas I cannot beat a Jace and a Teferi, Hour of Devastation for a trim 5 mana, 3 red sorcery. All creatures lose indestructible until end of turn. Hour of Devastation deals 5 damage to each creature and each non-bolus planeswalker. Peace out.
Well, she is going to have trouble against the Oath of Nyssa Tron deck.
Sure.
And yeah, it's going to get her. Yep, if it plays Bolas,
That's a getcha.
Yep.
You know, I'm not super worried about that. I mean, there's a Beast Within. Like, if we're there.
That's fair.
So I'm super into this right now. And I tried to play a really bad, it was like a non scapeshift. It was like, I tried to make Splendid Reclamation work and it just didn't, it was very frustrating. But I also didn't think of like playing Conflagrate because that turns out is pretty good. And we will come back to that whole nonsense later. But so yeah, I also think that just like in general, being able to top deck like a one card combo that your opponent is not going to be, so like if you're playing against another big mana deck, is unlikely that they're going to be playing something like land, like world land hate.
Sure.
They're just going to be playing like random stuff. So they play like Amulet plays one Ghost Quarter. Yep. One Ghost Quarter. End of list.
So, yeah, I mean, that's not, Amulet thing is going faster than you. They're not trying to like slow you down that much.
Yes.
I mean, you can. Like, the thing is that Amulet is just, when Amulet's doing its thing, it's just very, very fast.
Sure.
It's just like casting like turn three prime times on the play. Like, that's messed up. And like it's doing it with like Cavern of Souls sometimes.
Yep. Yeah, one Cavern of Souls naming giant. That is a flex.
It is.
Check me out.
All right.
So, anyways, moving on. That's I think, yeah. I would play one of those two decks likely. And speaking of Phoenix and things like that, I did want to just quickly jump back to our set review for Guilds of Ravnica and just point out how well we did.
Yep. If you look right underneath Chemister's Insight as the third best card of the set, I had Arclight Phoenix at number four. So, you know, you heard it here first. Chemister's Insight worse than or better than Arclight Phoenix? Question mark.
Question mark. So, you know, my list. So March of the Multitudes hasn't broken out in Modern
yet. Mission
yet. I think that it's
coming.
It's coming.
That is not a fun card for Dredge to deal with.
No. Nope. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, Lingering Souls, right? Like, Lingering Souls is very good. Not very good, but it can be. It's like infinite. Actually, you know what I think is really good? Bitter Blossom. Right? Just, like, infinite chump blockers. Like,
this seems really slow to me right now.
It is.
But I do like March in that, like, there are, like, busted ways to power it out in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
People haven't really got there yet, but, like, there are. Like Lingering Souls is a great one.
I think people you can are play, still
you can play Colony Garden, which is like, I mean, that seems like pretty bad, but like it's a thing.
Yeah. Well, Colony Garden, three mana Nissa makes a plant token. Like there's plenty of stuff you can do. Like I'm sure there's like an Abzan tokens deck probably.
Well, there was an Abzan tokens deck that like Matt Nass top eight an event with.
There you go.
It's like, I don't think that it's impossible for that deck to exist. I don't know. It's just not there yet, but.
You
had Creeping Chill on your list.
Which I had, yeah.
So, which like, a great call on your part.
I had Creeping Chill, Runaway Steamkin, and Risk Factor on my list.
Those are all very good calls. I was going to say, I remember when we were making the list, I was like, you had Creeping Chill, like, pretty high on yours, and I was like, you're not serious, right? This card's a joke. And then, like, 2 weeks later, it, like, puts like three copies of Dredge in the top six decks of Magic Online event. It's like, ridiculous. Oh, all right, maybe Creepy Chill just is the truth.
Yeah. I mean, you had plenty. I mean, like Assassin's Trophy, obviously, like Knight of Autumn seen play all over the place. Arclight Phoenix, Beast Whisperer is starting to creep into the sideboard of some elves lists that I've seen. I don't know if that's going to be widely adopted. Pelt Collector, like plenty of Vexing Devil Zoo Pelt Collector, like Evolve decks running around. Mausoleum Secrets, when there is a world in which, like, as foretold, Living End is a thing again, that's another one that sort of, like, gets hit by a lot of the Splash 8 for Dredge.
I'm still holding out hope that card will be in Death Shadow.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm not sure yet, but I'm holding out hope.
Yeah, I think it is. Ionize, I put Ionize in a Delver deck, and it was awesome.
I think Ionize is sweet, dude. I love that card.
Unmoored Egos, seeing plenty of sideboard play, it turns out that it's better than we thought. Like, it allows those decks, like the decks that play it, it turns like 0% matchups into like 40% matchups or 50% matchups, and that's...
Well, it's just so good against decks that rely on one card, right? And there just is a wide swath of modern decks that do this, like Living End and Ad Nauseam and Amulet Titan. Like, all these decks just rely on one card for their entire game plan to function. Like, Valakut relies on Valakut. You know, Tron Land relies on Urza's Tower, or whatever Urza's land you want to take. Like, it's just a very high impact card in certain matchups, and it makes sense.
Yep. I mean, you had Ralzeric on here as your pet card, so I think that's worth it since you're,
shocking that I got the foils.
So weird. But I still think there's even other ones that are on our list that are waiting in the wings. Like, March of the Multitudes, I think definitely has a place. Mission Briefing, trust me.
It doesn't have a place. That one is not going to show up.
It absolutely does. I'm building blue-black Surveil Fairies. Danielle tested the first version of it today. The next version is getting tested tomorrow.
Version 2?
Version
2. No Mission Briefing.
False. Version 1 had no Mission Briefing. Version 2 has 2 Mission Briefings.
Oh, man, we're going... this should be version 0.5.
And it also plays Disinformation Campaign, and Disinformation
Dad,
Campaign
I can get behind. Disinformation Campaign is sweet.
Yeah, like,
against... Mission Briefing is not.
Against any control deck, like, Disinformation Campaign is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
So, there's that. I got an invitation from somebody on our Discord, because I posted the Blue-Black Surveil Fairies, and they are also... They were like... You to read this message. I was on the Discord, and I see this message pop up, and it says, "The Fairies Discord wants to talk to you about your list." And I was like, "Okay." I said, "Do they think I'm the biggest idiot ever? Is this an intervention?" And he's like, no, they're curious. So I went over to the Fairies Discord. They were quite helpful, sort of like working through, because I'd tried a bunch of different stuff, you know, like, and I saw like wasn't working, and so they had a ton of really good suggestions. So that was how I built like the most recent version that I'm going to test. So big shout out to everybody on the Fairies Discord. Very helpful. For somebody that does not normally play, Fairies decks, cause they are kind of an animal unto themselves. And boo, 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 boo. All right. So let's talk about your PC prep. We'll do listener questions, and then you can get back to doing said PT prep.
Absolutely. So yeah, I don't know how deep I can get into the PT prep. This is a standard Pro Tour, not a modern one. So in terms of relative information for this cast, not a lot, but, you know, something to touch on, cause it's, you know, completely engulfed my life for the past month and a half or whatever, however long since Guilds came out. I will say that, PT prep is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, though. It's stressful. You know, there's definitely pressure to it. Like, there is, it is hard to stay on the train, and you gotta do well, and you're competing against a lot of people, also trying to do well. So yeah, I mean, it's tough. I've been drafting a ton. I think this draft format's really fun if anybody wants to check it out. This is one of the most like skill intensive draft formats I've seen in a while. It really rewards good drafting, in my opinion, anyway. And then on top of that, Standard is awesome right now. It really is. We were talking about, you know, earlier how people thought Modern was kind of starting to decline, and it's really not. It's just that Standard's so popular right now because it's new, it's fresh. The format's actually full of like fun and interesting cards. Nothing feels completely overpowered. There's a lot of like varyingly different strategies. You can like play big ramp decks. You can play like graveyard spell recursion decks. There's like storm decks. You can play, you know, just like green black value rock type decks. There's control decks. There's like some very good white and red aggro decks. Like it's just a very diverse metagame. A lot of fun, a lot of interesting interactions going on. So kudos to Wizards for building that.
Yeah, I want to sort of like pause there for 1 second. There really hasn't been a really good Standard format, I don't think, since this cast started. I mean, we're talking like the, we started like right when RTR rotated, pretty much.
I would say Khans of Tarkir Standard was good. Khans Theros.
Khans Theros, okay, sure.
Very early, and that one was kind of the last bastion of it. But that
right.
That Standard was very good, in my opinion. That Standard right. had... it had a problem with Rhino being a little too good, like the Abzan cards were a little too good. But for the most part, Abzan didn't dominate every week. It was more like Abzan would dominate, and then, you know, another deck would find a way to dominate, and then, you know, the Abzan deck built to beat that deck would dominate, and then another deck would dominate, right. and then Abzan would dominate again. But it was a fun format. There's a lot of different decks that showed up. There's a lot of stuff you could play.
Right.
And then you could also just play Siege Rhino.
Sure. But the thing that is important, I think, to take away from that is that cards that are in great Standard formats end up in Modern, right? Like, think about Innistrad Block. Think about, you know, Zendikar. Like, those sets form the backbone of what Modern is right now.
Well, and to be fair, there are cards and sets that stink that end up in Modern, too. Like, Mirrodin.
Sure.
Would you like some Ravager to go with your Archbound Ravager?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, for every Jace the Mind Sculptor, there's a Slash Panther, right? I mean, I get it.
Yeah, but your point is well taken. Like, the other thing that's interesting about this is there's a lot of powerful cards, but there's also a lot of powerful gold cards, which are interesting for Modern because Modern, like, gold is not, it's not relevant. It's not, like, if you want to cast a card, you can cast it in Modern. Like, you can find a way, right?
Right.
Like, the mana bases are good enough that it's just, like, almost trivial if you're trying to cast something. Like, I mean, we're playing a deck where, you know, people go Serum Visions and Terminate routinely, right? Like, a format yep. that does that. And they do that on curve routinely. Because you have fetch lands, like, you can do that. And that is just not the case in Standard. Like, I'm building decks right now that, like, I want to play these gold cards because they're so powerful. But it's just hard to do that. And, like, gold cards specifically are made more powerful for their mana cost because the casting cost is difficult, right? So it's like, you know, like gold cards that cost 2 mana, you know, maybe like if they were single colored would be like a 2.5 mana effect or like a 3 mana effect, but they cost 2 because they're like, you know, hard to cast. Or even like this format has some like four pip gold cards, like blue, blue, red, red, or like, mm-hmm. you know, green, green, white, white. And like those cards, you know, they like those cards specifically have the effect of cards that are like, you know, 6 mana spells sometimes, but they're just super hard to cast. So like, you know, they could find their way into Modern. And honestly, I'm seeing that where it's like, I tried Crackling Drake, which is blue, blue, red, red, in Blue Moon, and that card is way better than 4 mana. Like, if I was playing, like, you would never get a card that good for Blue in 3, right? It just is not even close to reasonable. But it's, like, right. trivially easy to cast in Modern because you can build the mana bases to do that. And I think the card is, like, powerful enough to see play. Like, I don't know that it gets all the way there, but I mean, we're already seeing this with, like, Assassin's Trophy. Like, Assassin's Trophy would be way too good at black and one, but it's, you know, definitely Modern playable at black-green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess my point is, you know, if Modern is slowing down a little bit where you are, like, that's one, it is temporary, and two, like, that is a good thing, because it means that the standard is enjoyable enough, and that usually means of a high enough power level, that those cards will break through at some point, like, or at least some number of them. So I would be much less, like, I would not have bought a deck in, like, Kaladesh Standard, because it just wasn't, like, for the long term, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to really use those cards. And I know that's not a concern for everybody. It's a concern for me. But that's my habit. I would absolutely, and will absolutely build probably multiple decks for this standard, because I, like, one, I already have a lot of them. But I mean, Arclight Phoenix, Risk Factor, like, Risk Factor single-handedly brought back Fiery Temper, and that is one of my favorite cards of all time. So, you know, just having cards that are good, and then you also get to play, like, some of those fringe cards that are, like, maybe not quite good enough for Modern. Like, as much as I love Swarm Guildmage, like, I know that it's not good enough. Like, intellectually, I understand that. But I would definitely build a deck that played Swarm Guildmage in Standard and, like, not feel bad about it.
No, that's fair. But yeah, anyway, back to the PT prep update.
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can't really give you guys, like, my list and stuff right now. I do plan, you know, to release, like, what I'm playing, what I figured out, that kind of stuff on, Turn 1 Wild Nikotle next week, if you want to check that out. But, you know, for now, just suffice it to say, I'm playing Standard. I found a deck I like. I've been testing it quite a bit. You know, been drafting a lot. And really, just really hope to do well at this PT. Hope to stay on the train so that I can get to the next Modern Pro Tour. That's the goal. Is to hopefully win enough to show mm-hmm. the Modern one.
I believe in you. Not well, sarcastically.
I think there's a chance that Cleveland, which is the next Pro Tour, is Modern, because the PPDQ season for it was Modern. So I think that, you know, there's a realistic chance that it's Modern, and I'm hoping that, you know, I think I just have to 11-5 to go to it. So okay. Hopefully we can make that happen and then go to that PT.
All right. Nice. Oh, listener questions. Okay. So we had a ton of questions. I had to sort of cherry pick them down. So one of the questions that we got from a user on Twitter was, is Grixis Death Shadow, I think the phrasing that they used was, is Grixis Death Shadow good?
Grixis Death Shadow is good right now. Shout out to Brandon Dalloway, one of the premier GDS players out there. He just posted a list. Go check him out on Twitter. Yeah, he just posted a list that he's been having a lot of success with, and I do think Shadow's good right now.
Yeah, no, I think that it is. Somebody, I don't remember who it was. Somebody posted on Twitter. They were like, Grixis Death Shadow is like a Legacy deck in Modern, in the sense that it just, like, it has all the stuff. Like, you can do everything. And, but also the clock is fast enough that you're just like, yup, here you go. 14. Yeah. Like, just Teemer Battle Rage out of nowhere. So I really like Grixis Death Shadow. I think that it is very playable, and if you have the cards for it, you should definitely play it.
Yep. I'm a fan.
One of my friends was giving me a hard time about disinformation campaign. Disinformation campaign is dope. I will have no bad talk about it at all, and it is great.
Yeah, it is definitely one of my favorite archetypes to draft in Guild Limited. Sure. Very good.
Someone asked, what do you look at when deciding to buy into a new deck if you own almost none of the cards for it? Oh, man.
This is something we have covered before, but so the first thing I would do if I'm looking to do this, the very first thing is I would like find a way to rent the cards on Magic Online or borrow them for, you know, to play a league, something like that. Or if that is not an option, I would look to like borrow it in paper. Like, it's not that hard to, like, you know, you want to test out Tron, like go to your local game store and be like, hey, guy who plays Tron, you know, can I, you know, switch decks with you this week? Do you want to play like my, you know, Living End deck or whatever deck you were playing, you know?
Yep.
Whatever. Bant Coco, whatever. You know, do you want to play this deck so I can play Tron for a week? You know, try it out. You know, set up some sort of switch so you can test out the deck. If you can't do any of these things, I would start by picking out something that you just know you love. Like, if you love Snapcaster decks, but you're not happy with your Snapcaster deck that you're currently playing, like maybe you have blue-white control, but you don't like it. Well, like maybe you want to test Shadow. Like, you know you like Snapcaster decks. Shadow plays Snapcaster. Like, it's not that hard to get some of the cards, right? There's a couple strategies here. It's tough. I mean, obviously modern decks are expensive and they're going to stay expensive. That's just the reality of the situation. But, you know, if you have all the lands, it's a lot easier too. You can kind of just like, you can just kind of build like budget versions of the deck. If you already have the mana base, it's not that hard. Like, just having the 40 shocks and the 40 fetches goes a long way in modern.
Yep. Oh, that's another point for this standard. Like, I always tell people to keep the rare land cycles. Obviously, since the rare land cycle of this standard is the backbone of modern, that goes double for this.
Yeah, you should keep these ones for sure.
I mean,
and then, you know, the other thing to do is you can just proxy a deck. Like, if you think you're gonna like Amulet Titan, like, you know, go ahead and proxy it up on the back of some basic lands and, you know, play some test games with it. You know, I definitely don't think you're going to get enough from some test games to know that you're going to love the deck, but you can definitely tell if you'll hate it. Like,
sure.
That is not impossible. I mean, maybe you'll be wrong, but it's like, that is a tool you have, I guess. So, you know, I would start with, you know, actively finding a way to borrow it, rent it, do some sort of, you know, test run. That's where I would start. Then I would go to build a budget version or proxy, something like that.
Like lands first is always what I tell people. And I think that's true. you know, I would look also at just sort of archetypes in general. So like I recently like bit the bullet and bought a set of chalices, and it is because there was more than one chalice deck that I was looking at. So I was like, okay. And Chalice was the only thing that was keeping me from playing those decks. So I was like, okay, I'm going to absorb this cost. It will open three decks for me that I think I would enjoy. And I had spent time playing them on Magic Online. And I was like, okay, this is good enough. These are powerful enough. These do things that I think are interesting. So I'm going to buy these chalices. And that was the most expensive thing, because chalices are expensive. So I guess don't buy all the cheap stuff first and then still not be able to play the deck because you're missing like the expensive linchpin. Maybe put it in the middle, kind of get the cheap stuff, then get the expensive stuff, then get the rest of the cheap stuff. It's just mentally, it feels better. Someone hilariously asked me about the sideboard for Storm, and all I know is that the answer is not to play Ignite Memories, because it is not 2012. Seething Song is not legal, and I just, even the little bit that I know about Storm, I cannot imagine that is the best choice.
I would not play Ignite Memories.
And you know what? If we're going to play Storm from 2012, you know what their old board plan was? 4 Through the Breach, 4 Emrakul.
Yeah, again, we're not doing that. Cards I am interested in trying out in Storm, Experimental Frenzy and what's the blue one? Precognition Field. are both interesting. I do like Fire Mind's research. I think that is interesting. It may not be good enough, but I think that's the
like. It's like a bad Pyromancer's Ascension.
Yep. I Arclight Phoenix is somewhat interesting. It's probably not good enough, but it is somewhat interesting.
Yeah, it's weird because it doesn't it wouldn't trigger off the copies.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not good enough. But also, Crackling Drake is not something you should 100% ignore in Storm.
I could see that. You know what? I could see that because people are likely to bring in Graveyard Hate against you, and it just completely ignores that.
Exactly. Like, they play a Rest in Peace, you play a Crackling Drake, you can kill them next turn in Storm, I promise. Like,
right.
You just, like, grape shot them for, like, 6 or 7, and then, like, 12 them with your Crackling Drake, because you cast a bunch of cantrips and rituals and stuff.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your answer. Play Crackling Drakes. Card's great.
Big fan of it.
Indeed. Same. Before we get to the Spice Rack, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/turn1thoughtsies, all spelled out. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @T1thoughtsies. Zach is at @A22EN. You can watch a stream at twitch.tv/T1thoughtsies, sponsored by our friends at Card Hoarder. You can see our YouTube videos at youtube.com/turn1thoughtsies, all spelled out. You can read my columns at blog.cardkingdom.com. You can become a member of the Thoughtsies Cabal at patreon.com/turn1thoughtsies, all spelled out. And you can see all of our content on turn1thoughtsies.com. The Spice Rack card for this week, which I'm like 10% sure is a repeat, but I don't care, is Leave to Chance. One of the scapeshift piles that I am working on is a Naya version, and I posted a picture on Twitter of one of my test games, and the test game, the picture was me with two lands and a Rift Sweeper, and my Storm opponent with a Baral, a Goblin Electromancer, and no lands. And a number of people rightly were like, what is even happening here? And the answer is that Leave to Chance is one and a white for an instant. It's one of the Aftermath cards from Hour of Devastation. So it's the front side is one and a white instant. Return any number of target permanents you own to your hand. And then the backside is Chance, 3 and a red, sorcery, Aftermath. Discard any number of cards, then draw that many cards. So a bunch of sort of interesting things that you can do with this in general that I have not yet explored. The thing that I am exploring is that in conjunction with Thoughts of Ruin, modern staple, two red, each player sacrifices a land for each card in your hand. When you in the scapeshift shell, you're just like playing a lot of lands. So once you get to 6 lands, you can tap all your lands for mana, cast Leave, pick them all up, and then with the four mana that's floating, you cast Thoughts of Ruin, and your opponent has to sacrifice all their lands. And that is a pretty good way, it turns out, to beat people is if they cannot cast any spells.
I agree. That works to beat people.
So you still have like Conley Heart Expedition and Steve and Azusa. So like while your opponent is like trying to just play the game, you get to just play your lands back out. And then if you get to 7 lands, you can just like scapeshift kill you. One of the other things that I'm testing right now for backup or like for plan B originally was Conflagrate and it just like didn't work out right. So I put Seismic Assault in there and that's another thing. Like you can very easily just like pick up 6 lands and then 12 somebody to the face. The backside is also like fringe relevant because sometimes you just need to draw a specific thing. And you're like, okay, 4 mana, dump 4, draw 3. Or dump 4, draw 4.
Yeah, the backside does seem very good with Life on the Loam.
Yeah, Right, and then you have Life from the Loan, like you have the whole thing. So I believe there is a deck there. I had talked about Thoughts of Ruin when I updated the old Assault Seas deck, which was basically like an Assault Loam deck that was playing like Rumbling Slum, which is hilarious. So like I thought there was potential there, and then, you know, this card came out and I was like, oh man, like what's better than Armageddon is like build your own Ajani Ultimate and then, you know, run away with the game. So, Leap to Chance, is certainly like the bulkiest of bulk rares. I'm sure you could find them for very few pennies. But just, an interesting card that has a lot of potential play, like fit both fair and unfair. So grab some Leafed Chances and, see what you can come up with. Stay tuned. Now that I'm off the leash of like having to play a serious deck all the time, I have like 10 brews that are like going full steam now. So, expect that, next week, Emma, British Emma, is coming on the stream starting back up, regular schedule, or like, you know, weekly again like it was before. We had like a crazy couple of months. It's like all kinds of stuff going on for both of us, so kind of get back to the regular schedule, but she's coming back, and we're gonna do some crazy nonsense, so stay tuned for that as well. But that's all we have for this week, and we will catch up with you later.
Love you guys.